Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, Mr. Number 37. Statements for Fruitage of Spiritual Gifts. After my marriage, I was instructed that I must show a special interest in motherless and fatherless children, taking some under my own charge for a time, and then finding homes for them. Thus I would be giving others an example of what they could do. I have felt it my duty to bring before our people that for which those in every church should feel a responsibility. I have taken children from 3 to 5 years of age, and have educated them, and trained them for responsible positions. I have taken into my home from time to time boys from 10 to 16 years of age, giving them motherly care and a training for service. These boys have now grown to manhood, and some of them occupy positions of trust in our institutions. One was for many years head pressman in the Review and Herald Publishing House. Another stood for years as foreman of the type department in the Review and Herald. In Australia, I carried on this same work, taking into my home orphan children, who were in danger of being exposed to temptations that might cause the loss of their souls. While we were in Australia, we worked as medical missionaries in every sense of the word. At times, I made my home in Kurumbang an asylum for the sick and afflicted. My secretary, who had received a training in the Battle Creek Sanitarium, stood by my side and did the work of a missionary nurse. No charge was made for her services, and we won the confidence of the people by the interest that we manifested in the sick and suffering. We had a very pleasant journey from College View to Battle Creek. We were given a very hearty welcome by the friends in Battle Creek. During my short stay in Battle Creek, I spoke 5 times, 3 times in the tabernacle, once to the students in the medical college, and once to the patients and helpers in the sanitarium. I had a message to bear, and the Spirit of the Lord seemed to impress those present. I know that God gave me strength to speak. On Sabbath there were about 3,000 people present in the tabernacle, and on Sunday about 2,000. The meeting on Sunday afternoon was attended by many of the citizens of Battle Creek. They paid the best of attention. At this meeting I had opportunity to state decidedly that my views have not changed. The blessing of the Lord rested upon many of those who heard the words spoken. I understood that some were anxious to know if Mrs. White held the same views as she did years ago when they had heard her speak in the Sanitarium Grove, in the Tabernacle, and at the camp meetings held in the suburbs of Battle Creek. I assured them that the message she bears today is the same that she has borne during the 60 years of her public ministry. She has the same service to do for the Master that was laid upon her in her girlhood. She receives lessons from the same instructor. The directions given her are: make known to others what I have revealed to you. Write out the messages that I give you, that the people may have them. This is what she has endeavored to do. I have written many books, and they have been given a wide circulation. Of myself I could not have brought out the truths in these books, but the Lord has given me the help of His Holy Spirit. These books, giving the instruction that the Lord has given me during the past 60 years, contain light from heaven, and will bear the test of investigation. The question is sometimes raised, what if Mrs. White should die? I answer, the books that she has written will not die. They are a living witness to what saith the Scriptures. During the discourse I said that I did not claim to be a prophetess. Some were surprised at this statement, and as much as being said in regard to it, I will make an explanation. Others have called me a prophetess, but I have never assumed that title. I have not felt that it was my duty to thus designate myself. Those who boldly assume that they are prophets in this our day are often a reproach to the cause of Christ. My work includes much more than this name signifies. I regard myself as a messenger, entrusted by the Lord with messages for His people. The Lord gave me great light on health reform. In connection with my husband, I was to be a medical missionary worker. I was to set an example to the church by taking the sick to my home and caring for them. This I have done, myself giving the women and children most vigorous treatment. I was also to speak on the subject of Christian temperance, as the Lord's appointed messenger. I engaged heartily in this work, and spoke to large assemblies on temperance in its broadest and truest sense. I was instructed that I must ever urge upon these who profess to believe the truth, the necessity of practicing this truth. This means sanctification, and sanctification means the culture and training of every capability for the Lord's service. I was charged not to neglect or pass by those who were being wrong. The Lord presented such cases before me, and disagreeable though the duty may be, I am to reprove the oppressor and plead for justice. I am to present the necessity of maintaining justice and equity in all our institutions. I have had the question asked, what do you think of this light which these men A. T. Jones and E. J. Wagoner are presenting? Why, I have been presenting it to you for the last 45 years, the matchless charms of Christ. This is what I have been trying to present before your minds. We are in danger of falling into similar errors. Never should that which God has not given as a test be carried as was the subject of the law in Galatians. I have been instructed that the terrible experience at the Minneapolis conference is one of the saddest chapters in the history of the believers in present truth. God forbids that the subject of the two laws should ever again be agitated as it then was. Some are not yet healed of their defection, and would plunge into this subject once more. Should they do this, differences of opinion would again create division. This question must not be revived. Now what we want to present is, how you may advance in the divine life. We hear many excuses, I cannot live up to this or that. What do you mean by this or that? Do you mean that it was an imperfect sacrifice that was made for the fallen race upon Calvary, that there is not sufficient grace and power granted us that we work away from our own natural defects and tendencies, that it was not a whole Savior that was given us? Or do you mean to cast reproach upon God? Well, you say, it was Adam's sin. You say, I am not guilty of that, and I am not responsible for his guilt and fall. Here all these natural tendencies are in me, and I am not to blame if I act out these natural tendencies. Who is to blame? Is God? It is quite possible that Elder Jones or Elder Wagoner may be overthrown by the temptations of the enemy. But if they should be, this would not prove that they had had no message from God, or that the work that they had done was all a mistake. But should this happen, how many would take this position, and enter into a fatal delusion because they are not under the control of the Spirit of God? They walk in the sparks of their own kindling, and cannot distinguish between the fire they have kindled, and the light which God has given, and they walk in blindness as did the Jews. I am much surprised that I am as well as I am. I had great fear that my summer's work would enfeeble me for the winter, but to the praise of God I will say he has mercifully lifted me up above my infirmities. I am very much better than for many months, better than last year. We are having most excellent meetings. The spirit that was in the meeting in Minneapolis is not here. All moves off in harmony. There is a large attendance of delegates. Our 5 o'clock morning meeting is well attended, and the meeting's good. All the testimonies to which I have listened have been of an elevating character. They say that the past year has been the best of their life. The light shining forth from the Word of God has been clear and distinct. Justification by faith. Christ our righteousness. The experiences have been very interesting. I have attended all but 2 morning meetings. At 8 o'clock Brother Jones speaks upon the subject of justification by faith, and great interest is manifested. There is a growth in faith and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are quite a number who have not had an opportunity to hear upon this subject before, but they are taking it in, and are being fed with large morsels from the Lord's table. The universal testimony from those who have spoken has been that this message of light and truth which has come to our people is just the truth for this time, and wherever they go among the churches, light and relief and the blessing of God is sure to come in. We have a feast of fat things, and when we see souls grasping the light we are rejoiced, looking unto Jesus who is the author and finisher of our faith. Christ is the great pattern. His character must be our character. All excellence is in him. Turning from man and every other model with open face we behold Jesus in all his glory. And their minds are filled with the grand and overpowering ideas of his excellency. Every other object sinks into insignificance. And every part of moral discipline is lost which does not promote their likeness.